there are different approaches of the Svarim. Probably the one that I think has the strongest support is that we know from Navi, from Shaul, and I think by Shlomo Melch as well, at the beginning of Malachim, not Shaul, but his competition. Amnon. Was that? No, Chavim was a successor. At the beginning of Malachim.
Adonim?
Was it? Yes. So we see that that in the time of the Nevi'im, when a king was announced, when they had the coronation, they did it by flowing waters. That was a siman bracha. By a mayan. They would take the ceremony of the coronation took place by a river. And that was as a form of a tefillah, that just like this river is ever flowing, so the king's sovereignty should last for a long time. Probably the other ideas also, just like the water is seen as a source of blessing in himself, a source of protection, of nourishment. So it was done as this was the ceremony. So probably the best idea is that since on Rosh Hashanah we say Malchus, Imra Lefonei Malchus, Kadesh Tavnechuni Aleichem, and since Rosh Hashanah is a day when Chazal said we do Simonim, right? It's one of the strange practices that the Leil Rosh Hashanah. Since I think it's the only time that we take something physical and we say Yiratzon, that just like we have a fish head over here, so Niel Erosh, right? Just like we have pomegranates, Sheyir Buzuchu Yisena Kirimon. It's a Gemara in the Krisus. The Gemara says that Vivesh Shasa Shulchan Aruch Kosim, but it's a very, very strange thing. Because when else do we do that? Do we take something physical and say, I'm going to have a sweet apple now, because Baruch Hu should give me a Shana Tova Masuka. So, in a similar fashion, I think that's pshat, that the people go to the river, or they go to some kind of mayan, some kind of well, and do a reenactment, so to speak. So I think that's where that makes the most sense. The idea of throwing one's averus away doesn't seem to be find great support in the Svarim.
Is there an asar also?
To throw your averus away?
To take
an embellishment, right? To take actually something physical and give it. That's a good question.
Is it asar? I mean, there's a thing with feeding animals.
It's also to feed. It's also to feed, but. If the fish aren't there, and you put something there, and the fish come afterward, then probably not. So that's probably the best understanding that we have. When goes to Tashlich, so one should be careful that it shouldn't become a scene, so to speak. That very often in many communities. So the Tashlich became where the entire tzibur hangs out in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah. So that's not such a good thing. It shouldn't become a beetle. Just dilutes the day into a lot of schmoozing. I always ask the Balabatim that when they see each other in Rosh Hashanah, they shouldn't ask each other about when they finished davening. When I was a kid, so you'd meet somebody down in a different shul, so you'd say, Lou, when did you get out today? So I find that such an offensive nusach. The question, I think, is offensive. You know, that's not what should be in a person's mind. How long was the davening? The other things, any good nigunim, do you have any new and new piyutim. So that would be a good thing to discuss. But the lashon, when did you get out today? That's like here we spent hours with the Rabbanu Shalom, and then they make it sound like it's a jail. So it's so. But Bechlal, the Rabbanim of the last centuries were discouraging of having large groups going to the together, because it often would then unravel into just a social event. But it's an old minhag, so one should, one can, should observe the minhag. There is a default minhag, one doesn't make it Rosh Hashanah, to make it by Hashanah Rabbah. So right. One can't do it by then.
So how would that like touch into the reason the Rebbe just gave, that it's a reenacting the Imam of Hashem? If Rosh Hashanah is the day for that,
yeah.
Now it's past Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. Because Simonim are Beresh Osa. In other words, we only do the Simonim the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the first two nights of Rosh Hashanah. But it sounds like from Shulchan Aruch that if you have Rimonim, the first being the year, so you would say he wrote that also. So it doesn't seem to be limited. Why do we do, this is a deeper idea though, more important, why do we do these Simonim? So I found a Sifrei, I think, no, Teres Koinim, that says that the Shofar is a Siman Tov. So one of the ideas of the Shofar, is a form, a way of davening. The Shofar is the trumpet that coronates the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the Chachamim said that the Shofar is also seen as a Siman Tov. Again, what does it mean? It's a Siman Tov, Simana Milsa, that there is the that is a way of davening the Ribbono Shel Olam, something physical. So apparently, Klal Yisrael said that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use a simon to daven with on Rosh Hashanah, so we should expand the idea and find other simonim tovim. So I think the umkus, the inyan is that the Ramban writes at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha that whenever there was a nevuah that had a physical component to it, so that nevuah was a nevuah she'ena chizeres, a nevuah that could not be upended. So the Ramban writes that when something, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu says something, and there's a physical component to Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's already shori ba'olam, it's already in this world. So then, when Kadosh Baruch Hu's bracha is attached to something in this world, so then that makes it that the bracha will come, or makes it gives us greater certainty that the bracha will come, greater probabilities. So we want to have a sweet year. So again, it doesn't mean if a guy is going to not work on his midos, the guy's going to be a misanthrope the entire year, then he can have as much honey as he wants. He's not going to have a sweet year. But if a guy is mispala for a sweet year and then he tries to be a sweet guy, so then it's it increases the probability. So the Ramban says, and if I do something that increases sweetness, so then that there's a greater chance that the bracha will be chal. So I think the Hezra Dover of that is that we find in the Nevuah of Elisha that Elisha Shunamis, that the woman who didn't have any anything in her home, so Elisha said, "Bring all the kalim," right? And then he started pouring the little bit of oil you have. And the Navi says she filled up all the kalim. And the Navi sounds like if she would have more kalim, she would have gotten more oil. But she only so many kalim she got. So it sounds like from the Navi that Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives us brachas, and it's up to us, like the Chafetz Chaim was saying, it's up to us how much we're mekabel. We're going to be a keli lekabel, right? And the Chafetz Chaim was saying, a person, Kadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give me, to help me learn, have to do my yishtadlis, have to do a klei kibul, right? If I say, how I need to serve a sech, and I go back to sleep after davening, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to drill his Torah into me. If I say, and I become a klei kibul, I open myself up. So then if Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so then if you spend 1 hour, I'll give you the bracha of 1 hour. 2 hours, I'll give you the bracha of 2 hours. 3 hours, 3 hours. So that might be what the person, what the idea that Klal Yisrael latched onto over here. That Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, it's a night for Simonim. What's Pshat and Simonim? Zman Amar, that we remind ourselves, that we say that Yirbu Zechayisenu Kirimon. Okay, so we remind ourselves that many brachos require a clay kibul. Most brachos require a clay. I have to make myself do clay kibul. I have to be Rotz Achar Mitzvahs. If I run after Mitzvah, the Baruch Hu will make it happen. Then he'll remember the tefillah that I had. So I have to do things to be Mamluch the Rabbonu Shlomo. If I do things, I think about it, if I have it on my mind, if I have a greater sense of the presence of the Rabbonu Shlomo, so then the Baruch Hu will be more present in my life. Attack of the Nefesh HaChaim points out. That if I have a greater awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Kadosh Baruch Hu will be more involved in taking care of me. That's the mashal that the Rav Chaim Volozhin gives us, the shadow. Hashem Tzilcha. Why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu compared to a shadow? Because I determine how large my shadow is going to be. I determine if I'm going to have a shadow altogether. So I can insert myself to be in the shadow or shade of something. So I think that might be what's happening. That's the way I understand it, based on this Ramban. That the Simonim are a way of, the Meiri says that the Simonim work because I should do a Hurei Tshuva when I have this in them. That it's just a way of, it's a visual, it's an optics. So that I think about it. I was thinking that based on this Ramban, most Svarim say I am by the Ramban. So based on this Ramban, maybe that's the idea. That we do a simon, but, and the point is that we remind ourselves that we have to be a kli kibul. That's what the Fichu Mopal HaSoysa.
I believe Simon asked this last year, but I forgot Rebbe's answer. What does Rebbe say, Machnis Rachamim?
So I do say Machnis Rachamim, yeah.
Why?
So Machnis Rachamim, we'll just be makatz and so we can get to the sugi. Machnis Rachamim was a machloikis that probably began, the modern iteration of the machloikis began time of Chaim Volozhiner. The Lithuanian Shiva stayed away from saying Machnis Rachamim. Why? Because Karva Shem Lachol Karva. We talk directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have intermediaries. We don't ask Malachim to do things for us. So that was a debate. You'll find this very, very clearly in Yoni Yom Neiron, because the last halacha, I think, of Erev Rosh Hashanah is that a minhag to go to the Beis HaKvaros. So the Mishnah Berurah says, when you go to the Beis HaKvaros, don't even think of asking the Nifta to help you out, because we don't do that. It's a place to meditate. Chayitin Aliva, go to Beis HaKvaros, the more serious place. That catches the same idea. We don't ask intermediaries. The emphasis is that the Litvisha approach was very, very severe about that. But it's very hard to make that approach consistent, right? Because at the end of every Hesped, so the Masped, at least not every, but 2 or 3 Hespedim end, it should be a Melitz Yosher. Right, the nifter should be a melitzer. The nifter should be the one who takes care of us. We say in our diet, be'ein melitzer. Now we don't have an intermediary. We could have an intermediary. We have the chazan and yom neiron. He didn't yonim imas. I'm gonna daven for it. The Ramah says a person's in trouble. He goes chacham shemir. Chasidim go their rebbe. The fact is that. Many people go to the basic forest, they do ask the nifter after the first 12 months through Mispalo. So it's very hard for us to draw a consistent line and to put all this together. If you're a straight-laced Litvak, so then you don't ask the nifter to email the tzosher. You don't ask the nifter. And what do you do with the you don't say machnis rachamim? Was that? Right, you don't say by yourself. So then, but you see that Klal Yisrael isn't so litvish, no? It says in the Seder, Baruch Hu Nishalom, no? So, and so that, So that's the reason. And I'm telling you, the Svarim, the Maharal is concerned about it. The Sefer's Kriya is concerned about it. So it's a very serious issue in Hashkafa. The reason that I do say it is because the paragraph Machnis Yerach goes back to Avraham Goyen. Goes back to the Goyen of Babel. So I feel that's true that the Rav Chaim Volozhiner was concerned about it in many of my rebbeim. But how can you take out a piece that goes back to Avraham Goyen? How can I have a philosophical problem with one of the Goyen of Babel? And the Shlor writes, even though the Shlor does criticize it, but the Shlor writes at the end, he says, but I thought it's makes the pshat. We're not asking the Malach to do anything for us. All we're asking the Malach to do was get my tzulas up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? We're not asking the Malach to we're not, I'm not attributing any koyach to the Malach. The Malach can't. I'm not asking the Malach to answer my tzulas. I'm just asking the Malach to expedite my tzulas. Right? So. Baruchuni l'sholem is a bigger problem, l'chayra. But they're also asking for a bracha. But it's such a big problem, Yaakov Avinu asked the Malach for a bracha. So apparently we do ask Malachim to help us out a little bit. Right? We don't ask. But the point is, we're not asking the Malach as ke'ilu, the Malach has any independent kayach on their own. They have no kayach on their own. They can only do the shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Machnisei Rachmim is... I'm asking the Malach to, if his job, if he has a job of, to be a Machnis Rachman, it's not his job, I'm not talking to him, but if his job is Machnis Rachman, it's the job of Mashmir Tefillah, so it means the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a job. So then I'm saying, please do your job with my Tefillahs. So that's why I, and then the Chasam Sofer, it also comes around to that Malach, something similar. And a Yosef, it's an old Minhag. Be very, very careful before you tinker with something that's so old. That's what I would say. It's also a good song. Let's have a good nigun. What are you going to do? It's one of the best nigunos.
If in general it's acceptable to ask like Malachim as like a shlichus Hashem, then why does the Shulchan Aruch warn against the Kvar?
It's a Mishnah Berurah. No, it's a Mishnah Berurah. Shulchan Aruch is harder to nail down. The Mishnah Berurah is the one that's saying, when you go, so there's a, because in Yeridah it says you cannot, that we cannot be Dorish Elamesim. It's not Pasuk in Chumash. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you can't be Dorish Elamesim. So that's the question, what does that mean to be Dorish Elamesim? So some say it means, if you really think that Mace can help you out, you don't think that Mace can do anything for us. The most the mace can do is he can intervene for us to rebel. You don't think that the mace can help me prosper. You know, the nifter can go to Kadosh Baruch Hu and help our tefillahs be answered. So we're not asking the mace to do something for us. Mishnah Berurah is not even that. Mishnah Berurah says we're just going to the camp of basic glories to meditate. Person goes, sees the chayit and a levoy, sees that we're all bosav adam. These are people to accomplish whatever it is. So it's a way of having more yishuv hadas. It's a way of figuring out what's really important in life. So that is the Mishnah Berurah's approach. But that represents the Chachmei Lita, going back to Rav Chaim Volozhiner. But the Chavetz Chaim wrote a letter. That's why I think it's so important to learn. That's why I think it's very kedai to learn Chavetz Chaim's Svarim, because he writes in one of his letters that he will help out those who learn his Svarim. So so it sounds like that Chavetz Chaim also understood that there was the neshamis of Kaychus. Not sure.
Just one quick thing, and then one actual question. What Rebbe said about Tashlich, was that from a specific sefer? Was that Rebbe's idea?
No, it's in the Svarim. I don't remember exactly where I saw it, but
okay,
I'll try to find it.
Regularly on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we try to refrain from Bakashos. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, how does that work?
Yes, so we'll be Marach another time. But the kids in the Chazanish says that we should make bakashas.
We should or
shouldn't? We should. It says, the very end of Shemitah, before you say Yule Ratzin. It's also the Machlekes. But Hayes the Chazanish says, Le'achshav Eim Asai, so then I think that Lanir's Dait is what we should do.
Even on Shabbos Yom?
No, no. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But and even if Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur on Shabbos, yeah. Yeah, that's what the Chazanish is saying. And Shabbos and Yom Tov, Matisyo Sol had a very good aura. He says, Sab'enu mituvecha, Sam'chenu b'shuvasecha, right? So he says, you can include any bakasha will fit into that. So he says, when you say those lines, stop for a moment. And good. Okay, we'll pick up another time. So let's begin this.